So I have some extended family members, and I would say that they are, culturally conservative. And what I mean by this is that they are professing Christians, and they believe that it is wrong or sinful for men to wear shorts. Only jeans or slacks are acceptable. Women in these extended family members, they wear no jewelry, and they always wear ankle-length dresses or skirts, even when it's 0 degrees outside. As Christians, the Bible recognizes that we are going to have a diversity of opinions on matters like I just mentioned. And so what I want to do this week and then the next time I speak in 2 weeks is I want to walk through a text of Scripture that helps us, that really, really helps us to understand how we sort of handle, how we deal with these, what I'm calling gray matters in the Christian life, in the body of Christ. And the passage we want to look at is Romans 14. So please open back up there if you're not there already. Romans 14. It's page 1137 if you are borrowing a Bible, and that would help you find it easy, quickly. Romans 14. The text has already been read this morning, so what I want to do is I want to address one question. Here's the question I want to address this morning. I want to answer. How do you handle differences of opinion on gray matters, and I'll tell you what I mean by that here in a moment. How do you handle these differences of opinion on gray matters in the body of Christ? What I want to do is I want to walk through this passage, and I want to give you three principles for dealing with gray matters, and then two gospel reasons for these principles. So, here we go. The first principle relates to others. So, this principle is outward facing. This principle relates to others. And the principle is this: accept one another, do not judge one another. Principle number one is accept one another and do not judge one another. And I get this from verses 1 through 4. Read those with me. Listen as I read. Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So the key part here is verse 1. Accept the one who is weak in faith, not for the purpose of passing judgment. Now for me to say today, we need to accept one another and not judge one another is very easy to say. We live in a culture where the motto of our culture is, accept me, do not judge me. That's our cultural motto. But what does Paul mean here by acceptance and no judgment? Well, in order to understand what Paul means here, we need to address three questions. First, what are gray matters? Second, who are the strong and the weak that we read about here? And then, number three, what does acceptance and no judgment mean? So, number one, what are the gray matters? The Bible, as you know, contains doctrine. The Bible contains doctrine. It contains teaching, things that we are to believe. All doctrine, listen, all doctrine is important, but not all doctrine is equally important. In the Bible, you have gospel issues, or what I could say, black and white matters. Like, for example, the deity of Christ, the Trinity of the Godhead, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Those are gospel issues. Those are black and white matters. But you also have what we could call non-gospel issues or gray matters. So let me give you some contemporary examples of gray matters. What do I mean by gray matters? Not Star Trek, gray matter. Gray matters. Here's an example. Here's some examples. Whether or not to celebrate Halloween. Using only the King James Version of the Bible. Using certain instruments in worship or having no instruments at all. Having Sunday evening services. Media and entertainment choices, particular styles of music, TV shows and movies. Lifestyle issues like getting a tattoo or drinking alcohol in moderation. A whole sort, tons and tons of bioethical issues like in vitro fertilization, surrogacy, birth control, certain dress styles like guys wearing shorts versus jeans or ear piercings on guys or gals. Using medication to treat things like depression and anxiety. Methods of education for children, public, private, or homeschool. These are examples, contemporary examples of gray matters. What I mean by gray matters, and Paul here is dealing with these gray matters. The examples he gives are eating meat and days. Look at verse 2. He says, one person has faith, they have faith that he may eat all things. It's not sinful for them to eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. They believe it is sinful for them to eat meat. So they eat vegetables only. Now look at verse 5, the first half of verse 5. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike. So those are the gray matters that Paul was dealing with in his time. Number two, those are the gray matters. Number two, who are the weak and who are the strong? This passage says there are weak Christians and there are strong Christians. Who are they? Well, to describe the weak, I would say two things about the weak. First, the weak are not able to accept freedom that we have in Christ. They put limits on it in some way. Whatever that freedom is, they put limits on it. They're not able to accept the freedom in Christ. Second, the weak are those who promote non-essential, even sometimes cultural preferences, as being essential for maturity. The weak, in this example, believe a person should eat vegetables only because of the association with meat, with idolatry. That's the context here that Paul is talking about. This meat was sacrificed to idols, and some believe that it would be sinful to eat that meat. So here is the key for the weak. The weak believe that the issue is a matter of sin. It's a matter of faith to them, or sin to them. They don't eat meat in this case because they believe it is sinful to do so. That's the weak. To describe the strong, I would say the opposite. First, they are able to accept freedom that we have in Christ. They do not put limits on it in any way, true freedom in Christ. Second, the strong do not promote non-essential cultural preferences as being essential for maturity. We have the weak Christian, we have the strong Christian. Now, let me say two more additional comments that I think are really important about the weak and the strong. First, both the weak and the strong are Christians. Paul's not saying that the weak are non-Christians and the strong are Christians. They are both Christians. They have both embraced the gospel of grace. So we're not dealing with Christians and non-Christians here. There are strong Christians and there are weak Christians. Second, in real life, there are some areas where you will be weak and some areas where you will be strong, depending on the other person that you are comparing to and the issue at stake. What do I mean by this? A Christian man might not wear shorts because they believe it is sinful for them to do so. Now, from my perspective, they are a weak Christian in that area, from my perspective. Yet, at the same time, this Christian might use the New American Standard Bible, not the King James only Bible. And in this scenario, from my perspective, they would be a strong Christian. So we are all weak and strong in different areas depending on who we are comparing to and what the gray matters are. Finally, we can finally now answer truly, what does it mean when Paul says, accept and do not judge? To accept means, here's what it means. It means to consider another brother or sister as a member of the body of Christ. It means to treat them as you would treat any other member of the body of Christ. It means to consider them to be a Christian. So even though you may disagree with someone on a non-gospel issue, even though you may have a disagreement, like getting a tattoo or celebrating Halloween, you might have a difference of opinion on that matter, but you treat them as a brother or sister in Christ. That's what it means to accept them. And I get this from verse 1. Look at verse 1. Now accept the one who is weak in faith. Paul here is actually specifically in verse 1. He's talking to the strong Christian. And he's saying, you strong Christian, you accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Now look at verse 3. The one who eats, Paul's going to address both the weak and strong now. The one who eats, the strong, is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats. And here's the key. Why? For God has accepted him. God has accepted him. In other words, God has accepted them into his family. So because God has accepted them into his family, you too accept them into the family of Christ. Count them as a Christian and treat them as such. That's what Paul means by accept. So if acceptance means to consider them a Christian in the family of Christ, to judge someone means the exact opposite. You question their Christianity because of their participation in a certain practice, like getting a tattoo or celebrating Halloween. You judge them by your own personal standard. Now, this principle of that is others facing, it's outward facing of accept and do not judge. This principle is so important, and here's why. Because what happens in real life, and you know this, you have been there. You have been both the weak and the strong in different situations. And you know what happens, perhaps you have done this, is that what happens is the strong Christian often holds the weaker brother in contempt. Look at verse 3. The one who eats all things is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, that is, who only eats vegetables. What does contempt mean? Contempt is a feeling, it's really a feeling ultimately of superiority, that a person is beneath consideration. They're worthless. They deserve scorn. Contempt is looking down upon the weaker Christian. The stronger sees the weaker Christian as ignorant of the implications of the gospel. Don't you see, brother? Christ has set us free from the law. That's their attitude. That's the attitude of the strong Christian. The problem is that they misapply the gospel, or the strong Christian can misapply the gospel. The strong Christian, I would say, sometimes acts as if they are really not as mature as they think they are, because what they do is they let liberty triumph over love. Their liberty in Christ triumphs over love. That's what happens many times with the strong Christian. What happens in the reverse is that the weak often judge the strong. And ironically, the weak Christian often sees themselves as the strong Christian and oftentimes feels superior. Here's the weak Christian's attitude. At least I don't celebrate Halloween, that pagan holiday. That's the mentality, the attitude of the weak Christian. They can even regard the strong, when they're judging them, as a non-Christian. The weak, what they do is they use their personal measuring stick of their personal non-gospel issue to test another person's Christian credentials. You celebrate Halloween, you're not a Christian. That's their attitude. They have used their personal gray matter to judge. So like the strong brother who is really not mature because he lets liberty triumph over love, so the weak brother is not really as mature as he thinks because he allows law to triumph over love. The point, I think you can see, is that we need to let love triumph over liberty and law. And this is really the one-word summary of this principle. If I could sum up this principle in one word, it would be this: love. Love. What is love? Love is accepting one another and not judging one another. That's love. That's what we're called to in these gray matters. That's how we respond in the gray matters in which we differ. And you know what? This can be extremely hard. This can be so hard. You see, we believe we are right about certain issues. Don't we? I mean, if we felt we were wrong, we would change. But we take an issue and we are so passionate about that issue and we believe we are right and we want to let the other person know that they are wrong. Take, for instance, the discussion of alcohol, of consuming alcohol. One Christian might be free to drink alcohol in moderation. Not to get drunk, but to drink alcohol in moderation. They might see that they have freedom in Christ to do that. Another Christian sees it differently. They think that Christians should not consume alcohol at all. And here's the funny thing, both use the Bible. Now, whoever is the strong Christian in this example, it's hard for the strong not to let their liberty triumph over love. And it's extremely hard for the weak not to judge the strong, letting law triumph over love. But here is the thing. Paul does not condemn these Christians for disagreement. As I said in the beginning, Christians are going to disagree about gray matters. He does not condemn them for disagreement. We can disagree about gray matters. Now hear me. The gray matters, yes, the gray matters are important. But the more important issue is how we respond to a disagreement with another brother or sister. Are we accepting? Or are we judging or holding them in contempt? We need to let love triumph. Love needs to triumph. Accept and do not judge. If you write in your Bible, if you're a strong Christian and you write in your Bible, you could write the word love next to verses 1 through 4. That's what Paul is talking. That's what he's telling us. We need to love one another. Accept and do not judge. And right now, you are probably tempted to think, man, I wish someone would hear this message.
Someone really needs to hear this message. I know someone who really, really needs to hear what Pastor Dan is saying. And if you're thinking that, you're missing the point. You need to look at yourself, and you need to repent of your judgment or your contempt. Why do I say that? Because really looking at yourself is the next principle that Paul gets to. Let's look at it. The next principle follows closely on the heels of the first. The second principle tells us how we are to respond to ourselves in the gray matters. How do we deal with the gray matters in the body of Christ? This is inward facing. The second principle is this: be fully convinced in your own mind about your gray matter. And I get this from verse 5, really the second half of verse 5, but let's read the whole thing. Verse 5. One person regards one day above another, another regards every day alike, and now Paul gives the principle. He says, each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. So let's take the example of alcohol again. I have known in my Christian life, in my experience, I've known many Christians that have come, for example, from teetotaling backgrounds. That is, backgrounds where they don't just not drink alcohol, but they believe that drinking any alcohol is sinful. And what they do as soon as they get out of the house, they fully embrace drinking alcohol in moderation. Yet, they really don't know why. They just go along with the crowd. Paul calls for something else here, something completely different. What he calls for us to be fully convinced according to the Scripture and by good and necessary reason that what we are embracing or rejecting, we are fully convinced of. So if I were to ask you, why do you do the things that you do, could you give me good reasons for it? I know that's a really broad, broad, open-ended question. We need to be fully convinced in our minds. You are responsible for your own positions, not for others. So I want to summarize this second principle with one word, and that is learn. Learn. Learn where you stand. Keep learning and be open to other Christians. Here's the key. Be open to other Christians who might see things differently than you on the non-gospel issue. So you can write, next to verse 5, you can write the word learn. How do we deal with gray matters? We love, we learn. The third principle tells us how we are to respond, not to others or ourselves, but to the Lord. The principle is this: hold your conscience before the Lord. Whatever is done or not done must be done for the Lord. Whatever the position you are embracing must be done for the Lord. Verse 6, look at this. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. Position is for the Lord. And he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who does not eat, for the Lord he does not eat and gives thanks to God. The principle says that whatever we do, we must do it for the Lord, not ourselves, not others, not for social media recognition. 1 Corinthians 10:31, a corresponding passage to Romans 14, you know it. You know 1 Corinthians 10:31. And in the context of 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul's talking about these gray matters. And what does he say? He says, whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That's the principle. You see, all of life, all of our life is dedicated to the Lord. There is not one part of our lives that should be connected from our faith. The Bible, our faith, should inform all that we do. It should be our worldview. It is our worldview. We have our convictions for the Lord, not for men's approval or disapproval. So the one-word summary of this principle, verse 6, is Lord. So let me summarize what we have seen in these verses. We must implement three principles when it comes to gray matters. The principles involve relationship with others, with ourselves, and with the Lord. First, accept one another. Do not judge one another. Second, be fully convinced of your gray matter in your own mind. Whatever you think, even think, I wonder if it's a gray matter. Be fully convinced of it. And third, whatever your conscience issue is, whatever your conscience tells you is right or wrong, it must be done or not done for the Lord. Love, learn, and Lord. Those are the three principles that we need to implement in regard to gray matters in the body of Christ. Now, I've given you these principles, and what I want to do now is I want to go deeper, and I want to answer the question of why. Why apply these three principles to gray matters? Here are two important reasons to apply these principles to the gray matters of life. The first reason we accept one another and do not judge one another, that we're fully persuaded in our own minds and that we make sure that we do all that we do for the Lord, is ultimately because, or I shouldn't say ultimately, one reason is because Jesus is Lord. You know why we implement these principles? Because Jesus is our Lord. He is Lord, after all, of both the weak and the strong. Look at verse 7. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, verse 9, Christ died and lived again, now look at it, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Brothers and sisters, who is our Lord? Our Lord is Jesus. Jesus is our Lord and our Master. We call him that. We profess that. We say he is our Lord. Do we live like he is our Lord? What would that look like, living like he is our Lord in matters of opinion, in these gray matters? What it would look like is that we would not be selfish or self-serving. Why? Because Jesus is our Lord, and he has instructed us not to be. He does not want us to be self-serving and selfish. Everything we ultimately have is his anyways. It's his anyways. Look at verse 8. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Our focus is to be Jesus, not advancing our own opinions. After all, this is the purpose of Christ's death and resurrection. Why do I say that? Look at verse 9. For to this end, for this purpose, Christ died and lived again
that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. The gospel, Jesus' death and resurrection, his work for us is the reason that we practice these three principles. Jesus is Lord. That's why we practice these principles of love, learn, and do all that we do for the Lord. The second reason we follow these principles in the gray matters is because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Look with me at verse 10. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. What this means is both the strong and the weak will be judged by God. To the weak, why are you judging your brother? To the strong, why are you holding your brother in contempt? Neither should take place, because we will, according to verse 12, all give an account of himself to God. Now, what does this mean? It means we're going to give an account to God. What does that mean? It means that the positions that we take on gray matters, the positions that we take, we are ultimately going to answer to God for. And it also means that the sinful judgment and contempt that we mete out to our fellow Christian, God will hold us accountable for. This does not mean judgment in the sense of condemnation. It means judgment for our faithfulness to apply the gospel to our lives. We are not condemned in Christ, but we will be judged, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So because judgment is coming, we are going to give an account to God. These principles, implementing these principles, matter. They matter because Paul says judgment is coming. We must love and learn and do all that we do for the Lord because judgment is coming. We apply these principles because the gospel says that Jesus is our Lord and judgment is coming. In my opinion, we live in a fascinating time in history. God has seen fit to put you and I here in this time in history. And I say it's fascinating because never in all of history has the church, and I'm not just talking about Grace Community Bible Church, I'm talking about the global church, never before has the church been so connected. We live in a global world. We have a global church in a lot of ways. We cannot run from the fact that Christians will disagree on various gray matters. We have, in fact, many disagreements in this body of Christ on gray matters. We do. We have them. Let alone, if we have disagreements here, think about the disagreements in the body of Christ scattered across the globe. And so in my mind, there has never been an age, there's never been a time where what the Bible says about the gray matters matters. Especially in our social media world where everyone knows everyone's business. If you do that thing. Right? Everyone knows everyone's gray matters because we're posting about it and we're liking about it. So because we live in such a global world where Christians differ with one another on so many issues, there has never been a time where what the Bible says about gray matters matters, where what the Bible says about these biblical principles matter for us. There's never been a time, in my mind where Romans 14 is so relevant for us. It is so relevant for us today. So let us, in this light, remember, God, would you help us? Help us to remember to love, to learn, and to do all we do for our Lord. After all, it is by His great gospel that we have been saved, so that we now have a new Lord and Master. And it is by His great gospel that we will one day be held account. And on that day, our Lord, He will make all wrongs right. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Servers, if you would please come forward.